Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 14th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Joel Burke. Joel is our minister to students here at Mountain Brook Baptist and no stranger to any of us. He's going to talk to us at the end of the podcast about Life Week, which happened last weekend, and give us all the details about how the Lord worked in the lives of students in our church. But first, Joel, read God's word for us today.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Hosea. We're going to be in chapter 1, starting with verse 2. We'll read through verse 10, and then we're going to skip over to chapter 3 and read all of that, verses 1 through 5. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. The Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I would ever forgive them. But I will have a compassion on the house of Judah, and deliver them by the Lord their God, and will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen." When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and in place where it is said to them, 'You are not my people,' it will be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.'" Now flipping over to chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1 and read through verse 5. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes.' So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, 'You shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days." Now we'll flip over to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 22. Starting with verse 15, the header in my Bible says, "A tribute to Caesar." "Then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus perceived their malice and said, 'Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' Then he said to them, 'Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went away." And now we'll read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox.
Thank you so much, Joel, for reading God's word to us. Yeah. Wanted to have you on the podcast to talk about the Life Week Discipleship Weekend. Now, in the past, we've had Life Week in conjunction with Vacation Bible School.
Right.
Why did you make this shift, and how was it a little different?
Yeah, so for as long as I've been at the church, which is 8 years now, it's happened in the summer. I mean, back probably
as long as you've been here at the church,
it's been in the summer. And so we started looking at programming overall when we did certain retreats and thinking about specifically students who are just so busy in the summer. We have two big retreats that happen in the summertime. We have Beach Retreat and we had Life Week. And actually, those were happening for a long time, about 2.5 weeks apart from one another. And so what we were doing was we were asking the students to have this big spiritual focus. And then 2.5 weeks later, we were saying, now have this big spiritual focus. And so we felt like it was a good idea for us to spread those out a little bit more so that the students could actually kind of sit with an idea for a while before us kind of shifting gears and giving them something else big to think about. And so that's one of the reasons. The other reason would be summer is just so busy and students have camps and sports and things like that. And we were missing a lot of students having it in the summer. And so we had a conversation, Ethan and I, just about what it might look like to move it to the spring. And the first obvious thing is that if we do it in the spring, it's going to look a little different because when we did it in the summer, it was on weekdays. Kids would come Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Some years we actually had 4 nights and did it Wednesday nights too. And so obviously that couldn't be the case because of school and all that. So some of the things would have to change about it. But
which brings up my next question.
Yeah.
What was the overall schedule for the weekend?
So students arrived on Friday afternoon, about 5-6 o'clock. And we had worship services here Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. And then in the middle of the day on Saturday, we actually took all the students. We did a service project. We have a couple of picnic tables in the backyard of one of our missionary houses, and all the wood had rotted on them. So we actually built some new. We tore those old ones apart, and we built some new picnic tables. And we actually refurbished a couple that were still kind of in good condition. And so that was kind of the gist of the weekend was we had a service Friday night with an activity afterwards, which we called Mission Impossible.
I heard all about it.
Yes. We had a lot of lights turned out, some speakers with siren noises playing, and it was basically a scavenger hunt. So kids were solving clues that led them to another clue that led them to another clue. And ultimately, they found a big treasure chest full of candy. If you were the winning team, you found the treasure chest. And so Carrie Kelly, who is Micaiah, our contemporary worship leader's husband, did this at his church growing up. And it was kind of his idea and thing and his genius that put it all together. And the kids had so much fun participating in that. And so then Saturday morning, we had a service. And then Saturday afternoon, we had a service project. And then Saturday night, we had another service, worship service. And that night, we had the Life Week games. And so every year, we do green versus gold and have two different teams that are competing in different games throughout the weekend. And so we had our final games that night. And it was just a great opportunity. But obviously, you kind of picking up that this is a full weekend event. And so rather than sending students home and come back, one of the models in Baptist life for sure is this thing called a Discipleship Now, DNOW weekend. And the model is that you go and you stay in host homes. So that was a new aspect of this year.
Yes. And we had maybe like 14 junior highers at our house. I wasn't even mayor,
actually.
Very
gracious. I know you got out of Dodge. But the Splods were very gracious to host some of our junior high boys.
And who were some of the other hosts?
So we had 4 host homes total. We had the Splons, who hosted junior high boys. We had the Browns, Barry and Heather Brown, hosted our senior high girls. Angie Jones and Martin Jones hosted our junior high girls. And then the Burks, Joel and Sarah Burks, played host to our senior high boys. And Sarah was very gracious to move into her mother's house for the weekend so that I could house all of these boys. And so Sarah's the real MVP of the whole weekend for sure.
That's awesome. Tell me the theme of the weekend, about the speaker, and maybe about the worship music.
Yeah, so our overall theme for this whole school year, 24-25, has been Show Them Jesus. And so we came up with this theme at our student ministry staff retreat in, I don't know, March of 2024. And we've come into this whole year. We've walked through Jesus's life in the fall. This spring, we're walking through how the disciples kind of responded to Jesus's life and how they have shown other people Jesus. And then this retreat focused on the disciple of Philip. And the theme for the weekend was see, S-E-E. And we based it on this passage in John where Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." And so the idea for the weekend was we're one where we were telling the students, hey, life can get real distracting and busy and hard. And sometimes it's important for us to slow down and see, look up and see Jesus where he is at work in your life, see the obstacles that might be keeping you from seeing Jesus, and also see your community and how we can support you. So we invited one of the ministers on staff at Dawson down the road. Her name is Aubrey Meredith. And so reached out to Aubrey. She was actually at seminary with Ethan while he was there. So there was a little connection there. And she's just a great, relatable speaker for our students. She contextualizes the gospel really well and spoke to them in a way that they were able to understand. And so we were happy to have her kind of walk us through this story of the disciple of Philip and how he saw Jesus and how ultimately it pushed him to tell other people about Jesus. And then we had the Sanford Worship Collective lead worship for us. And they're a group of students, freshmen through seniors, who lead worship. I mean, it's not an official worship team. They do get class credit for it, but it's just a group of kids who love to play music and lead worship. And they came in and just did an awesome job. Our theme song for the weekend was a song called Come to Jesus. It's a song that I highly suggest. It's by Passion Worship, and I would highly suggest you looking up and putting that on a playlist. It's a great song based in scripture, the bridge. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Come be saved. So all of our students at one time or another throughout the weekend had a leader praying out loud over them, and it just offered us really neat opportunities. I got to pray with some senior high girls that I might not ever have that opportunity to do, as well as, like, I was talking with Fallon, who's our female resident, ministry resident, and she was saying she got to pray over some junior high boys, and what a gift that was for her, because they might not ever come to her and ask for prayer, but because of the way we set these response times up, they came to her and said, "Hey, will you pray with me?" So
that's really cool. Were there insights that you took away from the weekend or some conversation that you had with a student about the weekend?
The nature of this kind of retreat is very relational. As far as the mission of our student ministry, which we've kind of boiled down to three statements: partnering with parents, connecting students to the church, and discipling them. We connected students to the church like no other activity I've been a part of since I've been here, because we literally put them in their houses. And so what that does is it creates so many opportunities for conversations. They know you and your family now like never before, because they've lived in your house, you know. I think that's such a blessing for us. And I'm just amazed at the way that our church contributed to this weekend. We had host homes. We had four host homes. We had two adult chaperones per host home. So we had a mixture of college students and adults. Matt Rich Avery Smith, Haley Finn, Michael Meganson. These are people that were not paid to go sleep in someone else's house, and they did it because they love our students, and they want to be connected to them. We had a team of cooks, amazing ladies who showed up and cooked food for us over the weekend. I mean, there were about six ladies in that group. We had a group of men who came behind us on Friday night. So we ended our Mission Impossible, and we were headed off to host homes, and we didn't have to stick around and clean because there was a group of men who came and cleaned behind us. So there were just so many ways that God kind of brought people into this event that maybe never would have connected with student ministry otherwise. And I'm so blessed by our community to see how they reached out and wanted to serve in those ways. I'm so blessed to have people in our corner like that, and call all of you to be engaged in the same way. Like, if you have gifts and talents, don't sit on the bench. We need you in ministry. We need you serving these students. That's why it's so important. That's why one of our missions is to connect them with the church, because we're trying to show them what it looks like to be involved all the way through life. So just a gift to have a community like this.
Well, thank you, Joel and Ethan, yes, and Fallon and Ed
and Micaiah.
So many people on the church staff and all the volunteers as well for your work.
And all the families that lent us their for the weekend, moms and dads and children.
And thank you, Lord, for a wonderful fellowship.
Amen.
Joel, I want to end with this question.
Yeah.
What is it that you love about the students of Mount Brook Baptist?
Our students are so driven. One of the things that impresses me about our students is the way that they pursue things with kind of their whole being. So just having conversations with people, especially as they're getting ready for college, and the way that they participate in so many leadership organizations and Bible studies. One thing I can say about our students is that they know the Lord, and they're supported by so many, not just our church, just the people in this community. I love that they have, especially this weekend, I was so just blessed by the amount of students that chose to set aside a weekend to pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord. And so I'm very blessed to be in a group like this, and to have a moment where I get to disciple and walk alongside these students. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do and is continuing to do. You know, I'm only a couple of years into this thing. Webb is my seventh grade class. So they were rising seventh graders my first summer when I was the interim student minister, and they're going into the 10th grade this next year. And so I'm really excited to see the ways that God is working in their lives and the lives of all the students around them as we continue to kind of find our stride in student ministry, as we, you know, continue to make little small changes like moving Life Week to the spring, or, mission trips and that sort of thing. So exciting times.
Yes, very exciting. Would you end our podcast, Joel, by praying over the students wherever they are right now?
Yeah.
And for them as they grow to know the Lord and to be involved with His church.
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, for your son, Jesus. We ask that no matter where our students are today, whether they're in school or at sports or on vacation or wherever they are, that you would make Jesus alive to them, that you would help them to slow down, to see where He is at work in their lives, to help them to know that they are loved and supported by a community of faithful believers. Father, we ask that you will help our parents in the church to, even when it's hard, to be faithful disciplers of their students, give them the strength and the peace that even when they fail, that you are going to fill the gap with people like us here at the church who are partnering with them. Father, help us to be such a shining light on a hill. Help your word to be hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Father, we pray for this church that we will continue to be good partners in ministry with our students. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.